You got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, we got a huge political tangent here, but we're here with Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. We're actually going to talk about TV here.
Oh, let's do
some TV stuff, and then we have the widest thing ever. Which, and I'm not intentionally teasing this, is just sort of a way to string people along, like I did yesterday with this big announcement that I was never actually able to give anyway. All this stuff we have to get to. So we're going to get to that in a moment. You got a question or comment about the television, or as my mom would say, telemovision. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. We'll do that in just a moment. This is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Eminem's mom was reportedly carjacked along the 8 Mile. The mother of rapper Eminem was reportedly carjacked last night in Metro Detroit. Debbie Mathers was sitting in her car while pumping gas at the BP station along the 8 Mile. She was approached by a man with a silver handgun who demanded her car and threatened to kill her if she didn't get out. The hijacker then grabbed Mathers and pulled her out of the vehicle. He reportedly fled in Mathers' car and headed west on 8 Mile Road. Mathers reportedly ran into the gas station and called police from a payphone. When officers arrived, Mathers gave the description and license number of her car. They located the car at 7 Mile and Greenfield Roads. The carjacker was stopped by a traffic light and blocked by other cars, so he escaped on foot. Police took a male 16-year-old Detroiter into custody. Then, a teenager trying to rob a convenience store was thwarted. That's a great word. But he tried to load a rifle with a wrong-sized bullet.
If not really a word that exists.
What was the word?
Thwarted.
Garotted?
T-H-W-A-R-T-E-D.
Okay. Who made that word up?
I think the more traditional pronunciation of that word might be thwarted.
Thwarted. Oh, okay.
Well,
thwarted.
That's just the more, I mean, I'm old school. That's just the more conventional.
You fill your car with Havoline, I use Havoline.
No, okay.
Anyway, the 16-year-old stormed into a 7-Eleven in Dania Beach, Florida, and pointed his long rifle at the store clerk, but a customer tackled the teen after seeing him try to jam 40-caliber bullets into a 22-caliber rifle. Why, it's like twice as big as the gun will fit. It wouldn't go.
You know, no amount of clever police work equals the assistance that comes to you when the guy you're looking for is just stupid.
Meanwhile, ODOT is telling motorists that freezing rain has created extremely icy conditions on Highway 20 from Brothers east to Riley, wherever the hell that is. Next news when it happens. I'm Jim Riley.
Okay, moving right along. It's 503. It's a station. That's, you know, our motto should just be a station that informs and helps almost no one. A station that gives you almost nothing of any real viewer use.
Join the club.
We're here with Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian. Okay, so you... We just started talking about this during the break. So you haven't seen My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance?
I saw a cut down. I saw a bunch of scenes and then was in an interview session with the principals from the show.
It's a great show.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. It struck me just from seeing what I saw of it. It struck me as kind of mean spirited and stupid.
Oh well, it's mean spirited, but here's the thing: I have no problem with mean spirited television as long as I feel that it's sort of harnessed and channeled. You know, sort of in the right direction, because, I mean, the gist of the show is that this woman, to make $1 million, has got to convince, everybody
in
her family.
She doesn't know that he's an actor.
Yeah, to come to the wedding and say that they like this guy. And then the guy, though, is just this big, sweaty, Chris Farley-looking bastard,
Right.
Who's just right there picking his nose and spraying a Ready Whip right out of the can into his mouth.
Yeah, I saw that part.
And so it's just priceless to see this look of horror just unfolding on her face as this guy just scratches his groin and breaks things. I mean, especially because she's, she is very prim and proper and very
right.
And
teacher in a Catholic high school.
Or not anymore.
They told her to get the hell out of there.
But that's
because they decided she was a big fat whore.
Well, because
which is what the guy, the explanation for that comment was at the press conference where I was. This one reporter raised his hand and asked her to her face whether America would come to conclude that a woman who was willing to marry a perfect stranger for $1 million was nothing but a, quote, big whore.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they ought to just call. I mean, they. I would completely watch such a program. They had a show called "Big Fat Whores Get What They Deserve." Man, I'd be all over that show. You know,
That sounds a little
skeezer,
misogynist to me, my friend.
I mean, no, there could be men too.
And that's the cue to play the thing I said last week.
Oh yeah, do we have Peter's words of wisdom from the last time he was on the show?
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Excellent. There you
isn't
go.
That nice?
God, I presumed be more proud. That's right up there with the screen.
But you know,
Becker.
The thing is, you cut it down to the point where the ironic setup.
Yes.
Is missing.
No, we're big fans.
I don't really remember a setup.
Oh! All I remember is that the part afterwards where he said, "Are you with me, guys?"
Yeah, so, there was that, too.
So, no, we're big fans. As soon as you said
I said, all people of good conscience can agree that.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Yeah, see, that was it right there. But you see, but that's savage and mean-spirited and hateful, whereas, like, the setup makes it clear that,
yes.
Screw.
I was going to say, it's that and the scream, man. It's that, the scream, and our friend Kristen saying that she sleeps with people on the first date. She's going to be taken and played on a campus. She's going to be played until the end of time. No, I mean, if they had a show just called Skeezy Ass Hoes, Get What's Coming to Them.
I am a girl who sleeps with people on the first date.
Not that I'm implying that about Kristen. I'm just saying that's a show people would watch. Or if you had, if you had lummoxed big fat guys get kicked in the head. Because that's what all these shows are. It's like Joe Millionaire's the same way. We all look, and we can pretend that we're high and mighty and we're above everything. But you know what? Everybody watched Joe Millionaire because everybody watched Joe Millionaire because they wanted to see Heather Kozar, was that her name?
Sarah
Kozar. Everybody watched that show because they wanted to see her just take a fistful of sleeping pills at the end. Man, that's what everybody was looking for. You know, you're not really rich. Just right out a picture window onto the pikes below, you know? That's what people wanted. It didn't happen.
Would have been nice, though.
But that's what you all want to see. So it's like, as I've been saying, it's like when they did the Simple Life show.
Have you been watching The Apprentice?
I have not. That's the one reality
now, that's
show.
A show. That's a show that's kind of fun to watch.
Because show.
Yeah, because Trump. I mean, I hate to say it, but Trump is a great TV character. The extent to which he's on the show makes the show just priceless.
And it's the guys against girls, right?
Right, exactly. And the guys are a bunch of, like, numbskull sort of wannabe type A alpha dogs who just constantly bicker and carry on. And the women are willing to basically, and I hate to say this, but, I mean, they will use sex to achieve any end whatsoever. They have no compunctions whatsoever.
Could that possibly be because
bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
Well, you know, it's like they are like trying to live the life. They're trying to prove that, like, hands down, and it's horrifying.
Well, I mean, I would do, if I was a woman, can I just tell you this? If I was a woman, if I was some hot chick, man, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on the pole right now. I mean, I would just a matter.
You're saying that now, but you wouldn't.
This is the weird, cruel, Greek tragedy-like irony of nature, is that guys who would gladly just shake their cans and sleep their way to the top, you know, don't have the opportunity to do it. As a
nobody's
general
buying.
Yeah, it's like, that's the thing, is it's totally a buyer's market.
That's why they have to have guns.
So instead we just have to come in and shoot up the place. It's like you never see guys on the pole, you never see women coming into the office packing a handgun. But I would totally be wearing a low-cut shirt and just taking on all comers in the conference room if I thought it was going to get me a raise. But I can't do it. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, Sarah...
Are you suggesting I should try?
I'm saying if I was you, I'd be doing it. You know? Because it's a lot easier than whatever your job is now, and it probably pays better. You know what I mean? But you won't.
Definitely pays better.
You won't for whatever reason. It's like if I was a woman, I'd completely be a lesbian. If I was a woman, if I was a woman, I'd be gay and I'd be a slut. That's the first thing I do, you know?
Yeah, but if you were a lesbian, you would be feeling so much differently about that whole deal. Have you seen the L Word on Showtime?
Yeah, I saw the billboards for it. It's like the Sex in the City with lesbians.
It's not very good, sadly.
No.
And I think it's, I kind of get the suspicion that it's written by men.
Well, lesbian quasi-porn written by men.
Yeah, where they're all these hot, horny lesbians.
Well, it's because anything based on...
Acting like a bunch of guys.
Well, because...
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I wish I could be disabused of my suspicion that in fact is the real life.
Well, I think Sex in the City, I know it's based on that book by what's-her-name, but I think most of Sex in the City's stuff was created by, which is why it wasn't any good.
Gay men, actually.
You know, I mean, anything...
It's written by, almost entirely by gay men.
Anything based
think,
on Sex
I
in the
think
City.
That's what I read it somewhere. A guy said it was like he was the first straight male writer on the show. I think women and gay men. And it's a great show. Everyone loves it.
It's a terrible show. It's a terrible show. You know who Sex and the City is loved by? Sex and the City is loved by cosmopolitan sipping women in Manhattan and women in the suburbs who are fat and want to be those women. That's who watches and likes Sex and the City. Maybe
Welcome to America.
Maybe you're a big fan.
No, but, I'm not a big fan.
But Sex and the City is, you know, Sex and the City is viewed
there are
by...
There are aspects of the show that are really good. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, I'm just saying, Sex and the City is just viewed by a lot of women sitting around in Gresham who want to pretend that they're hipper and more sophisticated than they really are. You know?
And it might make them laugh, too.
It doesn't, because it's not funny. Because it's not funny.
There are parts of the show that are quite funny, but what they need to do... Well, anyway, it doesn't matter because the show's over, but... That narration, I cannot bear the narration. She's a crappy writer, and the writing, what appears to be her column, I would spike all those columns.
It offends your sensibilities.
Yeah, as a writer, I'm like, man, that sucks. Plus, she's sitting there, you know, she always writes late at night in her underwear.
Which you do, I'm sure.
I write all day in my underwear at work, which is why I'm not at work, because there's a restraining order, and I can't go back.
Wearing only a thong, sitting at your desk, greased up, with in front of your keyboard.
Right.
Well, it's like when they started describing that the L word is Sex in the City with lesbian. It's like in the early 90s when everything was Die Hard on a plane, and Die Hard in a shopping mall, and Die Hard at the, you know, Die Hard at a weight loss center. You know, it's like, that's what everything is now. It's like Sex and the City is just Dream On with girls. It's just that Brian Benben show, you know, with vaginas. That's all it is. I mean, let's just all be honest and say
I'm buying that show.
Exactly what it is. Is there anything else I should care about having to do with television? Anything at all? Anywhere? I mean, it's just a wasteland out there right now.
Well, it's January. February's rolling. All the good stuff is being held in reserve for
Nip
sweeps.
Nip Tuck is coming back, right?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, Nip Tuck's going to be back. Probably, like, that's like a summertime show. They're very excited about that at FX. It's like their highest grossing or their biggest show. The Shield's coming back. I've been watching The Shield.
How have you been watching? And you don't hook a brother
I'm all,
up?
I'm all hooked up. I still got to watch him. It's early March, March 7th, I think. It's or like March 8th or 9th. It's right after The Sopranos.
You're going to slide a little love brother's way.
All right. Didn't I give you a whole bunch of The Shield?
You gave me the first two episodes last year.
Oh.
Because I was sitting next to you at the Sandland Diaries.
That's right. Well, I could probably just get something for you because I got the first five episodes now. We'll talk.
All right, we'll talk.
Some of your people talk to my people.
I'm in the book. Somebody wants to know if you're watching A Surreal Life.
No. I saw a bunch of it. I saw part of an episode on a bus in L.A. when they were shipping us from one place to the next.
Are you just herded like so many cattle?
We are.
Onto those things?
At times we are. But it was like, you know, it's a show that I kind of dug the first time around, but I got to say it wears a little thin. And the whole, I don't know why. It's just, maybe I should watch it more. Do people like it?
I like it.
Sarah's a big fan.
Yeah, it's good.
We kind of like anything on the WB because the WB is sort of the KOTK of television.
You know,
it's just like the lowest common denominator, which we love.
The whole press conference thing, nobody could report on it because basically all roads led to a dick joke about Ron Jeremy.
Yeah, I have to. No, we have to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you can use that as a you can use it as an adjective about a person, but not as an actual noun.
Yeah. You know, someone was explaining that distinction to me when I was at work.
It's insane.
Sorry, I screwed up.
No, it's okay. You're not as bad as Jolie, man. Jolie can't go 10 seconds here without using the C word or the D word.
Is that right?
Okay. She's unhinged about it. Brad, you're on Hot Talk tonight at KTK. You got a TV question here.
I do have a TV question. I just want to say The Apprentice is the only reality show I've ever gotten into. So.
Yeah.
And I think that the black chick's going to win. She is...
She's heinous. She's awful. I mean, and the weird thing is, the horrible thing about her, I forget, what's her name? Do you remember?
I don't know.
But she's like, she's one of these people who, like, instantly, like, she is just, as an individual, you don't even need to get into the race has nothing to do with, like, what a horrible person she is, but the moment anyone responds negatively to her behavior and the fact that she's a completely self-involved, selfish, awful person, she accuses him of racism.
How much better is that? You just described Donald Trump other than the racism stuff, so...
Yeah, but he's terrible and awful, but he's, like, come to terms with it.
He's zen with it. It's like, that's who he is, you know?
He was talking about Don King. I think I put this in a column earlier this week, where he said, you know, Don King's a friend of mine, you know? I've known him for years. Terrible person. Horrible person. And he goes on and on and on about just, like, a miserable bastard. and da 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 da. And then he says, like, but he's good at what he does, which is, I don't know, screwing fighters for all these years, I guess. And,
well, see, you got to admire that.
Yeah. I respect his dishonesty, so yeah. That's great. Hey, I did have a quick question on the miniseries Traffic. I've been seeing previews on that.
Yeah.
I like the movie. Is it going to just fail miserably, or is it going to be okay?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I've got it on my desk. I should watch it. It's on USA, right? It's one of those miniseries that...
Well, it's being advertised on network TV.
Oh, yeah. It's on USA, so it's got to be... They probably advertised it on... That would be ABC, right?
I saw billboards for it all over New York. It was, drugs were just the beginning.
Yeah.
So what are they doing now? What are they smuggling now?
Barbie dolls?
Like Harry Potter books or something?
Yeah. I don't, you know.
I won those.
Cabbage Patch dolls.
All right. There you go. That's Brad. Hey, you'll be excited to know, by the way, this is someone who sent this to me, that Gilligan's Island, the complete first season, will be... Aren't there some shows you really don't need to own on DVD?
You would think.
You reach some point where there's just something you don't actually need. You'll be able to listen to all the... Talk about a guy who's positively pulpy in an age. Sherwood Schwartz, who continues to be alive. Is that one of those things where you're just off God's radar? You know, like God has just sort of forgotten that you're there. Sherwood Schwartz is like 95, literally. I mean, he's in his 90s, isn't he?
Yeah. So is my grandfather.
Yeah, well, okay.
He's trucking right along.
Well, fair enough. All right, now we come back. You have comments about this, the whitest thing ever.
Okay.
When we come back, we will unleash the whitest thing ever when we return after this. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're here with Peter Carlin, TV critic for the Oregonian. Stay there. We'll be back.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's Sherry Dillon with that damage.
Ashton Kutcher plays a college student whose blackouts give him access to mend his present by fixing his past in a motion picture entitled The Butterfly Effect. Ashton, why is this film the perfect fit for you?
I was looking for something that had the right message, that was socially conscious, that was an interesting character, something I hadn't played before, something people hadn't seen me do, and this was the one.
Explain why you weren't worried about being cast for the lead in the film.
The budget wasn't gigantic. It was like a $9 million movie. So I didn't feel responsible for, this huge investment that some guy made. Everything was just right about it, you know.
The final episode of Friends, expected to finish filming around midnight tonight. The mood on stage 54 of Warner Brothers lot, emotional and somber. Key parts of the finale being filmed away from the studio audience to keep plot elements secret till the show ends on May 6th. For the Metro forecast, possibly some snow for the Coup, Battleground, Hood River, Cascade Locks, and Stevenson, Washington. Rain for the rest of us. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A snow event and a rain event. The other one is the putting the glass of water outside so we can see that it freezes.
Yeah. Look, nature at work.
It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. I'm here with Peter Carlin, TV critic in the Oregonian. Just as a little bit of business here, for people who are asking about Bigger Than Jesus tonight and tomorrow, yeah, online tickets are sold out. You can no longer get tickets online. There are tickets available at the door. Show starts at 7, doors at 6:30. If I were you, I would be there. I don't know, sometime between 6 and 6:30. Earlier the better.
Yes.
You know, it's not going to be a riot. Not going to be Who style or anything. But you want to make sure you get it. So you want to be able to tell your grandchildren you were there. Something you saw back in the day. All right. Hey, speaking of music, you know, Bigger Than Jesus, a lot of stuff about music and about the, you know, kind of 15 years of, what did they call in the Oregonian? The history of rock in 90 minutes or something. That was their headline. I don't know that that's...
You know what they said?
I don't know that that's strictly accurate. Strictly speaking, I don't know if it's accurate.
Sounds good to me.
But at one point in the show, I talk about my parents. You know, my parents had a lot of really bad music.
Is this from your parents?
No, this is from a guy named Michael Everhart. I referenced at one point in the show that my parents had this Reader's Digest, like vinyl box set.
Right.
And it was like this mood music collection. It was just terrible. It was all
music.
Awful, you know? The best, not just mood music, the best of mood music. And so And so this guy, Mike Everhart, who's one of our engineers here, he worked here.
What kind of mood are they talking about?
Who knows, man. I never even really listened to it. All I remember is on the front it had like a Greek, it had like a bust of like some Greek-looking person. Like, that's all, I don't know why. But he actually owned some of these Reader's Digest box sets. And so there's this one that he brought in called, and he owned these.
Yeah.
I don't even know why you would still possess these. Popular Music Hit Parade is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman on the front, it's at the front of this. I mean, I don't know, depending on how old you are, you may even not remember these. But they would sell these box sets of like five records, like five vinyl records in a big slipcase. And on the front is this incredibly white-looking woman, sort of like a really young Diane Keaton, sniffing a bunch of daisies.
Daisies, yeah, the daisies are a nice touch.
And it looks to be, whatever, what, like 1968?
68.
And it's got 110 all-time favorites.
Yeah.
And I mean, and this is the kind of stuff that my parents' record collection was just packed with. And it's like nine records filled with just this unbelievably bland music.
I'm down with this woman, though. She's kind
of
cute.
Do we have, this is real. This is out of this box set. Matt, play the vinyl 10, whatever this is. This is out of this box set. The Reader's Digest put out. The Beatles, baby.
Hey.
Cha, cha, cha.
A little fondue.
I mean,
you know something? Time works wonders. This actually sounds kind of cool to me.
I suppose.
In a sort of
a bachelor pad kind of a way?
Yeah. I'm shaking up martinis. I'm waiting for that hot stewardess from TWA to come over.
You're patting around in your red bathrobe.
That's right. That's right. I got, you know.
You're like that guy who lives across the street from Bob Newhart and Suzanne Fleshette.
Precisely. Check out the Oregon.
Busting it down there.
It's rocks.
I mean, it's hard to fathom anything more Caucasian than that.
That's true.
That's true. Well, we've got a few of these cuts. Go ahead and play whatever the next one is. We just pulled random cuts off this Reader's Digest.
And you know the thing about this, though, Rick? I got to tell you. These guys are really good musicians.
Well, yeah. So are the guys who work at Muzak. I mean,
In the context of 1968, you got the White Albums out, you know, you got Cream and all these great bands. It's like, yeah, you know, this is pretty egregious. But you look back over, like, however many, 36 years, and it's like, suddenly it's like, I can kind of see a little glimmer of charm here.
I suppose.
It's awfully white, you're right. But, like, time, you know, time heals all wounds and makes crappy music sound good.
Well, there is something to be said for you go back and you listen to this stuff, and it's just so, well, it's like all the music I use for my live reels,
yeah,
you know, for my live commercials is all this sort of lounge stuff. And the lounge stuff I use is sort of, you know, it's recreations of lounge songs. It's sort of been re-recorded with new technology and equipment, but this is like the actual vintage stuff. But the weird part when you listen to this is like trying to picture your parents, like,
Are my parents
getting it on to this or something? Or like, I mean, you don't want to think about
it. It's mood music, my friend. That's what kind of mood? It's not an angry mood.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like trying to picture my dad with the, you know, the whatever, like the bicentennial, you know, martini shaker, you know?
Yeah.
You know, my dad lining up, my dad lining up like some bad glasses he got at McDonald's, you know, and like my brother and I up at my grandmother's house for the evening, and you know, just like setting the mood for love. What else is on plate? Whatever's next here.
What is this even trying to be?
I have no idea. Is there something we know?
And it's just
key change. Yeah. I bring it in the morning, I
bring it in the evening, all over this land. You don't hear vocals like that very often.
You really, it's...
Oh, Edna, you look so good tonight.
Seriously, that's exactly...
What do you say? You want to put some quarters in the magic fingers? Get to
Oh, yeah. See, and then they're folky there with the harmonica.
Got a little production problems here. I gotta go back and rethink this arrangement.
But this is, not to oversell the whole thing. I mean, you know, people come, they'll like it or not, and they'll have a good time or not. But I mean, this is, it's just sort of, it dovetails with what is this?
Oh, mon chéri, let me take you to the land of love.
See, this is one of those things that you think is sophisticated and cultured when you're, you know, like a hick in 1979, but then in...
You're late, man. It's 69, maybe.
And then you look back in retrospect and you realize it just makes you feel greasy and sleazy. You just want to go kind of scrub. You know what this is? This is being one of like a bad, subpar James Bond knockoff.
Yeah. There's that.
But anyway, my whole point is this, that kind of thrust of a bigger than Jesus, like before, like there was, I have this theory that everybody has this sort of before and after.
Mm.
Like everybody has this dividing line musically where it's like before you listen to crap, you know,
yeah.
Or stuff that at least was very, very, you know, just sort of given to you by your parents. And then there comes some moment, there comes some event where afterwards you listen to, you know, you seek out your own identity. You know, it's like one day you're listening to the Jordanaires, and the next day you're listening to whatever, to Bruce Springsteen, or whatever it was, whatever you're...
Yeah, but I started... My parents gave me really cool music when I was a kid, because it was all Beatles and Rolling Stones.
See,
and...
how unfair is that?
No, sorry. But then, you know... But I spent a lot of time listening to, like, Ted Nugent in high school.
Yeah, but see, it's like, for me, and I think for a lot of people, there was just... You know, it's like, before that, it's just endless Anne Murray records or something.
Yeah,
and then,
well...
You know, then there comes that, like, sort of that moment, like an Almost Famous, where you, like, you find your brother's Doors records, you know, or something, and the doors of perception are open to you, and everything is sort of different from that point on, so.
Well, it's, yeah, no.
All right.
This stuff is kind of, you know, there's that, who's that guy that kind of, cocktail music sort of had a little...
Oh, that Esquivel or Esquivel,
yeah,
whatever the guy's name is?
Yeah. Right, yeah, there's a little renaissance.
Came with instructions for how to set up your stereophonic set to impress women at your pad. All right, anything coming up in the Oregonian people should be reading?
You know, I've been slacking. When I got back from L.A., I kind of, like, you know, took a nap. But soon, next week, I think I'll have some exciting things, but I can't talk about them yet.
Excellent. All right. Thank you. Thanks for...
Good. I don't know what they are, okay?
Read them in print in the Oregonian, on live at Oregon Live, online at OregonLive.com. It's Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. We'll be back after this.
Stay next week.
We're going to show.
There goes your freedom of choice. There goes the last human voice. And there goes the last DJ.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. What does it say about Mike Everhart that he had like three of these? Each of them 9 volumes long.
So did he give them to you or just let you borrow them?
I'm imagining that he wants them back. I mean, for what purpose, I don't really know. Yeah. If I had a hammer. Oh, they apparently on disc 9, The Sounds of Nashville, the Reader's Digest collection contains The Sounds of Silence and Blowing in the Wind. That's got to be exciting. I mean, I remember just, because it's like when you're a kid, as our friend Rush says, you're just a young skull full of mush. You just have no sense of what's good, you have no sense of what's bad, you have no, because there's no filter on any of that stuff when you're growing up. It's like, you know, it's like when you're a baby and you'll just eat, like, anything, because you've actually developed no sense of taste. So it is with music. You know, your parents can just shovel... That's why, you know, like your 10-year-old listens to Britney Spears, you know, because you'll just accept whatever is kind of shoveled into your brain. It's all just one big... There's no... You know, you have no discriminatory senses or anything built in at that point. We've got this email from our friend, The Low. Rick, that's the freshest thing I've ever heard. I am dead serious. How much do I need to pay to get a collection of that on cassette or something? Better yet, what's the rental fee? I will do the work of conversion to digital, whatever. It'd be priceless for me and my attempts at bringing better hip-hop to the world around me. Seriously, low. All right. Well, whatever. Whatever you say, man. It's like, I get this. I remember we were playing that Peter and the Wolf thing one time, and there was some dude who was all about wanting to get his hands on it. And the crew, Scott, you're a full-time listener. What's up?
Well, I just, last Saturday night, had guys' night out, and the two of us went out to dinner, had Boca Burgers, no beer, and then something really masculine, we went to see a one-man show.
So your man night out was two men dining together on vegetarian food and then an evening of theater.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, it's much better than it sounds.
Yeah. I mean, it would almost have to be. How could it not be? Well, that's, you know, the man night, you know, it's part of the new broad definition of what it means to be male in this culture, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the two of us actually was Josh from Beaver Creek, which you've talked to him before. Him and I went last year. In Front Row Center, had a great time. Went again this year, Front Row Center, and I had an even better time.
Excellent. Well, much obliged.
Did a great job.
Well, thank you. Much obliged. We appreciate it. You spread the word for anybody that would want to come tonight or tomorrow. We thank you, man.
I'm actually thinking about bringing my son tomorrow night. He's 15 and getting into music, so.
Well, see, we got this kid, and I'm not sure if he's going to be there or not. I mean, I don't want to, you know, keep going back to him and make him feel awkward about it or whatever, but we got this guy, this kid, Matthias, who emailed us, and he was like 15, and it was the same thing. It's like before he sort of discovered rock or whatever, it's like, you know, his musical taste was entirely at the discretion of his parents, and so it was apparently just endless classical records. And then I guess he heard us talking about Andrews WK at one point, and that converted him. And I guess we comped him a pair of tickets, so apparently he's going to be there tonight. So I'm telling you, you want to warp your child young, early, and exactly the right way, you bring him tonight.
Well, my son is not that bad. He does have some decent taste.
All right.
I think he'd enjoy it.
Just saying, the young people today, they need a guiding hand. They need someone to take them and show them the right path in life. Who better? Who better than Rick Emerson to guide your child into a life of fulfilling adulthood and manhood?
Anyone.
Why don't you shut your head? Yeah, get Matt to do it. Yeah, Matt, you want to talk about your child? You want your child at home reading, like, fondue cookbooks and so forth. Fondue in one hand and Copenhagen in the other. That's exactly what you want your child to end up being. Whatever you say. Rick, are you telling me that we will not hear the lesbian story from Sarah today? Aren't you her boss? Can't you force her to tell a lesbian story? See, when you look up the definition of sexual harassment in some sort of employee handbook, because you're someone's boss, using that as a tool to quote in your words, force them to tell a lesbian story to you, that falls into the category of things that will end badly for me and result in the removal of this program from
me. Well, it's not a story. It's just a couple of few experiences I had.
A few experiences. Were they drunken experiences?
No, we won't talk about this today.
Was this about natural? Would this have to do with natural light? If I call Christina, will she know? I saw you all in that one picture together.
Yeah.
The one where you all, where it's like 40 of you and you're all holding cans of Natural Light at the same...
No, Busch Light.
Is it Busch Light?
Oh, it's all about the Busch Light.
Is that the lowest rung beer that there is?
No, you know that Pullman consumes 2% of Busch Light's, like, national sales. Yeah,
Pullman. Well, because everybody... Because in Pullman, man, the streets just run... The streets in Pullman are just... The gutters are filled with beer and pee, like, at all
and
times.
And vomit and packed up frat boys.
Yeah, because Pullman's one of those cities that wouldn't... It's like Cheney, Washington, a city that wouldn't even exist without drunken college students. I mean, they did college students, you know, about 98. It's, here's a little story. This I'll tell you about Pullman. And this is not the story of them about them having a lentil queen and a lentil parade, even, although they do that. Pullman is a city where you go to see, I forget the name of the stadium, but there's a Coliseum there where you go to see the rock concerts occasionally, depending on where you live, like if you live in Spokane. And in 1991... I think it was. We went through Pullman to see Metallica. And so we go there, we drive all the way there, we go to see Metallica. And then afterwards, you know, a thing that I've sort of lost as I've aged, and I don't know whether you all did this, was the post-concert, you know, whatever. Where you either go and you go to like a Denny's or something. And like when you're, because the thing is, when you're a teenager, there's a whole universal thing. I don't have time to do a whole thing on it, but there's some universal truth. There's some universality to the teen experience. And one of those things is that when you are 16, 17, 18, basically until you're old enough to drink, a about 90% of your evening activities revolve around a Denny's or a Sherry's or some other such 24-hour establishment, where for $4 in coffee, you can kind of hang out and not, you know, never have to go anywhere, leave, or do anything. And so the deal was that every time you would go to a concert, you would just end up at a Denny's, like, all of you, because you're so broke, you know, having paid $35 for a paper-thin T-shirt that's going to disintegrate in the wash, like, you would all go in on, like, a plate of, fries and ranch sauce together. And that's what you would do, and that would be, like, your post-concert thing. And in Pullman, man, it's like, after the Metallica show, we went to, like, a 7-Eleven or an AM/PM or something, and it's like, and they had, I swear to God, it was like 80% of the store was set aside for liquor and liquor-related products. It's like the amount of beer in that place was just not even human, and it never even occurred to me that it's because it's a college town. It's the same thing in Cheney, Washington, which is where Eastern Washington University is. Probably the same thing in Eugene, where you go there, and it's like, 60% of that town's yearly annual income probably comes from selling beer to people. I mean, that's where it comes from. That's what it's all about. I forget what I was talking about. And I have to do the James Cameron thing. Okay, I'll read when I get back. We get back, we got James Cameron news and all that. Like is a 3, world-famous Phil Hendry show at 7. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk, Denny KOTK. Don't go anywhere.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. We got Lycus at 3, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7, Clyde Lewis at 10 with Ground Zero. Oh, I should have brought him in. I want to give the whole thing away. I don't know if he's going to talk about it tonight, but apparently he's... Attention, federal officials, I'm not wishing for the death of anyone in the federal government, especially not Dick Cheney. I wish him a long life and the best of health, but apparently Clyde has got some story about... In his words, the pending death of Dick Cheney. So that's Clyde Lewis coming up with that tonight, 10 o'clock. Ground Zero tonight at 10, tomorrow at 10, Sunday at 8 p.m. This is from Richard. The coup, Rickard. Rickard, the coup.
Hey,
start again.
Try again.
Subject line, Pullman's Guinness Book record. The coup, Rick, holds it. What is the coup? Is that a place?
That's the bar. Actually, I hung out there all the time. You can get into a mug club if you sit there, day after day.
That's exactly what you want. So your children can see evidence in the future of your... Mommy used to be an alcoholic!
Yeah, I can bring my mug with me anytime I go to visit.
Mommy, how did you get cirrhosis? Well, there's a mug that has it. Rick, the Coug holds a record in the Guinness Book for the most beer sold per square foot per night. There's your Washington pride there. I've seen pickups loaded to the springs with cheap-ass Busch Ice. F. Matt with a large case of alcohol poisoning.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Yeah, well, okay. Fair enough. Anyway, so I wanted to get to this. We're not going to have time to really talk about it a whole lot, but there's James Cameron. Because James Cameron is one of those guys that, because he did Titanic and whatever, 96, 97, which is, seven years ago, something like that. And it's just been forever since he's done anything. The news just came out. E! Has revealed that James Cameron will direct a science fiction project for 20th Century. See, it's a good news, bad news story. The good news is James Cameron will direct a science fiction project for 20th Century Fox this year. And then the bad news is coming. The technological geek will shoot the picture in 3D, which no one wants to see. Which no one over the age of 10 will find interesting or good in any way. There's no word on the specific plot. The plot is that you get a migraine. That's a group of people go to a theater and then develop a splitting headache after having to look through fuzzy-ass little glasses at something that's smudgy and out of focus. On the project, Cameron was a producer on the sci-fi movie Solaris, which starred George. Can I just tell you this? I went to see, what is it, Ghosts of the Abyss, which is that Titanic thing that he did last year, which was, you know, which is really good, which would have been great if it hadn't been in goddamn, it's 2004. Don't you think they should have developed some sort of 3D apparatus that doesn't require you to put on these, like, bad, tinted, cheap-ass paper Ray-Ban sunglasses? I mean, any movie that requires you to use technology, you know, from 1955... it's not necessarily something you want to be seeing. So it's a bad idea. Apparently he's given up the idea of filming his next movie in space, which is what he was going to do at one point. I guess that's not happening. So you can file that into the good news, bad news thing. We want to thank CNN radio correspondent John Bisney, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, Audrey Hepburn, Elizabeth Taylor, Henry Winkler, Dennis Miller, Ashton Kutcher, J-Lo, and Ben for giving us news. Richard Quest, Howard Dean. I take back the thing about parts of kangaroo raining from the sky during his wake. I take it back. Don't forget, doors open tonight at 6:30. For Bigger Than Jesus, show starts at 7, $10 in the door. We've got the... Oh, and I always get in trouble for not telling people this merchandise, so you bring extra coin for that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Make a note of it, because in 69 hours, we are back for the KHJK Noon News Hour on Monday. Like us next. Phil Hendry at 7, the Rick Emerson Show is produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah Dillon for Hot Talk 1080 KHJK. The newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. See you Monday. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Bye.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.